This is Tamiko Faison, your host for Therapy Entrepreneurs and Leaders of Color, a podcast dedicated to showcasing and supporting therapy entrepreneurs and leaders of color around the world. I am thrilled that we have a returning guest today, Dr. Arame Anbarasade, who is all the things. I'm not going to read her bio. I'm just going to throw out some words. Associate professor, co-TAD leader and founder, advocate. She is a mom, a mom, a mom, and so much more. So, and she's running for AOTA president. So welcome Arame back to the show.
Yes. Well, you hear one of them in the background. Thank you so much. You know, I am like thrilled to be back on this show. And this show is such a wonderful space and just a place to highlight all the great work that people in the community are doing, people of color and entrepreneurs. So I'm just so honored that I'm reinvited. Like, that means I made the cut. I made the cut to be reinvited.
You definitely made the cut. And, you know, I was looking back because I was thinking, okay, she was on the show maybe a year and a half ago, but it was 2020. So it was 3 years ago.
I thought 2021. So was it 2020? I thought
the end of 2020.
Like, wow. December. Okay. Yeah. So if I published in 2020, okay.
Yeah.
I looked back too. I was like, oh my gosh.
It's been a while. So how have things changed, your leadership and entrepreneurial roles, since we last chatted?
You know, I was reflecting on that. I thought that was, I was thinking, you know, when I came on last time, I believe I was running for AOTA vice president. And I was like deep in campaigning, right? And actually, I think we just hit three years, right? Since we last chatted on this platform. So like I said, I'm just so excited to be invited again. But also at the time, I was deep in the admission cycle. I was so much has changed since then. I was directing and changing the way admissions and recruitment look like in our profession. I was running for vice presidency. I was able to get the victory of being vice president. I was able to create history in admitting the most diverse in my cohorts those last 2 years. I was able to create a lot of change in moving the profession forward. And COTAD was able to celebrate 10 years of like being a premier organization in the spaces that create access and decrease barriers for people. So, I mean, that's just a snapshot of some of the things that have changed. But I was just thinking about entrepreneurial roles, you know, and it's so wonderful thinking about my entrepreneurial hat is in full swing. And I credit you for that. I've been so convicted to what I want to focus on. And I'm inspired by individuals like yourself who are incredible, not just entrepreneurs. I say serial entrepreneurs, like you're just paving the way. Right. So being able to talk to individuals like you have experience and this, like pick my brain and share my ideas, it allowed me to put together this direction of where I want to take my entrepreneurial spirit and OT. Like, I want OT to elevate its entrepreneurial space, right? I want people to think about, when we think about OT, like, oh, entrepreneurs are not just non-traditional, but like, it is the way, right? It is like, it is not a weird concept to think that OT practitioners or scientists are entrepreneurs, right? It's like, this is what we do. This is how we do it. And so I really want to change that narrative. And I'm really excited to go dive more in and create space and time for being entrepreneurial in a lot of academic spaces and practitioner spaces. So more to come. I'm not giving too much of it, but more to come with my entrepreneurial endeavors. But I'll tell you, you know, me loving real estate and me doing all the different things, I didn't realize I've been an entrepreneur for so long, right? But how do I pivot it into the spaces that I love and being an OT ambassador? So so many exciting things, but a lot of things have changed, which has made me such a stronger leader.
Yeah, so you got me all excited. Arame can't see me right now. I got my camera off, but I'm blushing and excited because she knows, and y'all probably know, I love entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And yeah, you definitely are an entrepreneur. And I didn't include that in the beginning, but you know, you are obviously currently the vice president of AOTA. And I love the testimonial of like how you don't stop. because I know you ran before in the past and you shared that publicly. And so I just appreciate that you are like unstoppable.
Thank you. People say like, you're so resilient. I'm like, listen, I don't get to pick and choose when I can be resilient. You know what I mean? I'm just, this is it's in the DNA. It's in the core. Like I have to be, right? Like we have to keep pushing. So I thank you for that affirmation and affirming words. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And you dropped this nugget this time. I don't think you said it in the last interview. You love real estate. It's out, y'all. She is got a lot of other things that she don't always share, but she is also a real estate investor. So that is wonderful. Like we connect on a lot of different wavelengths, including
it's crazy.
And being a mama. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Were you on my interview in 2020?
No, I wasn't a mama yet. I was, you know what? I was pregnant.
Pregnant. Okay. Mom.
I was very newly pregnant and I had no idea how my life would shift. But I'll let you ask your question because you can talk about motherhood all day, every day.
Yeah, that is the question. How has being a mother shaped and changed you as a leader or impacted you as a leader?
Wow. That's an incredible, powerful question. Wow. Okay. So, wow, that's a powerful question. So, like, in my mind, like, whether you're a mother of one, two, three, four, however how many kids you have, a Black mom, an Asian mom, white mom, you know, no matter what, we have very similar challenges, right? At the very basic level, I'm not necessarily talking about societal level or systemic level, but like, the occupations, like waking up in the morning with your kids, getting them ready. Look, there's one in the background that you could probably hear. Bam. You know, I can go on and on about the occupation of motherhood. And I barely even made it to 8 a.m. with my examples, right? Like, I did that. I didn't even say getting them in the car, getting them to, you know, I just said, you know, just the getting them up and getting the day going. My point is that we are mothers first before anything else that separates this common thread, right? Mm-hmm. So when you see a child running and crying or, you know, who's fallen, we moms, you know, like we lean in, don't you? Like I lean in, like I feel it in my soul. Like, oh my God, let me go help this child. Our humanity is to care for that child, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want us to get back to. Motherhood, what motherhood makes me realize is that it brings out those instincts of humanity, right? And so motherhood for me also made me a more empathetic, patient, patience and compassionate leader, right? Even a stronger leader. For me, I always suffer what I believe in. It's not like, oh, I just found my voice. But in motherhood, like I don't hesitate to waver any direction but to protect my babies, right? And so, you know, like think about it, you know, you a mom of two boys too. So just like me, but I can't wait to get to you where I can just like go to basketball games and enjoy, right? Right now they're both breastfeeding. That's the occupation in itself. But like when you're sleep deprived, when your day is molded around your kids' schedules, like for me, it's only been 2 years. Like I used to be able to wake up and just be and do and be all into the things I need to do, right? But when you're just simply doing more, like we're doing more as mom. Like I've learned how to be so much more efficient and concentrate my efforts on the necessary priorities. And so like, isn't that who you want to be to lead you? Like someone who is like efficient, effective, can prioritize, compassionate, patient, empathetic, humanistic, right? Like, so like if you tie even all that back to us, like as the core practitioners and why we do what we do when a client is in need, no matter the race, right? So we go the gender, the sex, whatever, the entire gamut of like my, like intersectionality, like it simply shouldn't matter. Like those humanity instincts should kick in, like where you should want to help them, where you should want to care. And at the core, you know, bias should be removed and humanity should take over. And so if someone looks at me, I feel like even like, this is what I want to say here. And I feel, and I'll leave it at this because I know our time is ticking, but I feel like us as practitioners should automatically care for, should automatically have the instinct of just humanity, right? And bias and implicit bias and stereotypes and discrimination for caring for our clients should be thrown out the window. If we think of the core of like what I just gave you, this example of motherhood, right? At the same base, like if we had even increased representation, imagine the sense of connection our clients would even feel probably even more, right? So I just think that motherhood has helped me connect even more and connect even richer as a leader and as a practitioner. So motherhood has really elevated me in so many ways. And I mean, I'm humbled by it, and I'm honored and I'm blessed to be able to have this role, these habits and these routines.
Wow, you said a mouthful, and I can relate to all of that. Yes, as a mom of two boys, they still take up a lot of space, and I am grateful for it. I think one day you called me and I was hollering. I accidentally called you and I was hollering for one of my kids. They were playing basketball or some sport and I was hollering.
I love it. I love that you're a basketball mom though. I love basketball. So like, I'm like, yeah, go
back. Yeah, and I love how you connected all these qualities related to motherhood to being a human and how we should be humans, like look at everyone as a human in our practice and not focus on all these other factors that you said that sometimes separate us.
Yeah. Basically. I mean, it should ground us, right? It should ground us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So challenges. You know, okay. You don't get to where you're at without any challenges. Like, that is a given. So, has your advice changed related to overcoming challenges, and anything differently you want to say about how you've overcome challenges and what advice you would give to others who are facing challenges?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the challenges, even it's interesting. It's like what the challenges are and how you navigate the challenges and where you are in your life. And in the positions that you occupy and the spaces that you're in is like a leadership class in itself, right? Because I don't think they teach us enough how to navigate through the challenges, right? They tell you show up on time, make sure your desk is clean, but not how you navigate challenges. So all of my challenges I face are institutional, right? They're systemic challenges. And how I overcome them, like I'm working on overcoming them personally, spiritually, and very much so systemically, right? And so it's not a sprint when you have challenges. Like you have to waver through the storm. Because once you come out of the storm, that's the lesson. The thing is, some of us have to overcome more storms than others, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, that's why I believe in walking the talk, because institutional barriers only are changed by the masses. You know that, Tamiko, like through organizing, through mobilizing, through bringing issues to the forefront, that's how true change happens. And that's my advice. Like, it's not just one of us who locks arms. It's most of us, many of us have to lock arms, because my challenges can be similar to your challenges. But if I am silent and dealing with my challenges privately in isolation, because oftentimes when it's institutional, systemic, you blame yourself. Like, what did I do? You know, then you decide, then you deal with them alone, not realizing there's so many other people that deal with them, and the village that you can create and the circle that you can build through sharing your testimony, right? Through sharing the experiences. I mean, here's the thing, what we OT, occupational science, we have the art of storytelling and story making. And in storytelling and story making, we cannot ignore the challenges that we experience, right? I've learned to surrender through. And so for me, that surrendering has allowed me to really process, reflect, and deepen my understanding of how to weather through a challenge, you know? And so people may expect you to do it a certain way, but this is the long term. This is the longevity. This is not, I need to blast something. This is the challenge, but this is like, how do you navigate for your own mental and physical health? And how do you navigate so that you can create long-term change systemic and institutionally? So I'm overcoming them and I cannot wait. Maybe one day I'll write a tell-all. I don't know.
I'm going to read it.
be that. I have so much to say, but I'm grateful for being grounded, and I'm grateful for individuals like yourself, like I said, who continue to affirm and speak life and just be incredible people in your corner, you know?
Mm. And what emotional intelligence you have to say, like, I'm not gonna arrive, and I understand that I'm in it for the long haul. And the fact that you are open to sharing it, because it's not just about you, that you understand that even though you personally, you know, have had to go through certain things, you're looking at the bigger picture, and that's why you share. And that's why you commit to long-term.
Yeah. I mean, none of this stuff is to be an attention, a hoard attention, or to be getting clout. Like, we live through this, you know, like we live through this. We live through these experiences of challenges, which become traumatic. Right. And it's like, you know, this can exhaust. I mean, we just dealt with an incredible Black woman who created suicide from these challenges. Right. We witnessed the Harvard, you know, what's going on in Harvard. Like, I'm just talking academic level. Like, I'm not even talking about other levels of like institutional spaces that we face incredible barriers to make us question, like, are we even good enough? You know? And I feel like that's a lot of strategy, and that creates, those barriers create the immense challenges that we have to endure. But it's again, how do you navigate through it? That's the core.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of emotional maturity, like you said, and intelligence.
Yes. So I know what's next for you, but in your own words, and you gave us a snippet of entrepreneurial endeavors that you are planning. But what's next for you, and how can we support you?
Listen, this is funny because what a full circle moment, right?
Right, it is. It's real.
Like, I'm like, where does the time go? But look at us. This is what happens when you don't waste time. I want to tell you, like, one more thing about my advice to others is just say yes to opportunity, right? Just say yes. And then you'll see how your leadership journey kind of pivots and how the story, how it takes its turns. But so by me saying yes, I'm putting myself in another position of elevation, right? Because now I'm running for AOTA to be AOTA's next president, and I'm running for president-elect right now. Oh my God. But I'm looking to make history again. Okay. And I want to be able to make OT, occupational science, a household name, right? Unifying image where we champion what we do and we're proud of what we do. And for me, I just can't believe that when you stay focused, I mean, you understand this is a marathon, you have big vision for this profession, that you know, that now is the time. The time has arrived. And when preparation comes to opportunity, it's a match made in heaven, because I'm so prepared and I've been in the game for the long run, that it's nothing. It must be done for us to be able to go in an upward motion in this profession. So I'm excited. I'm excited about what's next, and it's time to get this victory.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we are gonna hear, this is a podcast, but the North Carolina Black OT Collective is going to host a meet and greet with Arami and Natalie. So we have more representation than I've ever seen in my OT lifetime. on our ballot. And so we want to hear from our leaders, and we want to support them. So stay tuned.
That's because of me, like, breaking the glass ceiling. You know, that's all you need is representation. Like, me being in that VP role, look at how many people are on the ballot. It's like, I can see myself also there, right? I mean, these are the unspoken and the spoken things. Why it's so important to hold space and to be at the tables. Cause now look at the ballot. And so it's important for us to educate ourselves about all the candidates. And the way you can support me is promote for the people to get out and vote, educate yourself and the candidates, vote, use your vote. I tell you that, and I believe this is the most important election that has happened in years. You're voting for a president, you're voting for a vice president, a new executive director is in the process of being looked at, hired, right? We're in this process of momentum and shift, right? And so either it can go one way or it can go another. So we got to get out and vote so that if you love OT the way you love OT in our profession and our association, then utilize your voice.
Now I'm going to drop the mic on that. No one can say it better than a position to be in. All the things I mentioned earlier, she is a very emphatic and powerful and passionate speaker. So thank you, Arame. Hear from you again in February. Again, not on this podcast, but stay tuned because I will be sharing the meet and greet. Because like she said, you want to educate yourself and you want to use your voice and you want to vote. So thank you for your leadership already with AOTA and in many other spaces. And I'm looking forward to supporting you in additional leadership spaces around me.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on your podcast. And I just want to leave you with this. Remember that intention does not equal impact, and we must not remain silent or performative. We must drive change through vision and through action. I appreciate you. I thank you. And I want nothing but success for you as well.
Thank you so much. That's our show, everyone. Don't forget to follow. Until next time.
See you later.